EF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
I'm Lori Pacheco. I'm here to talk to you about Blue Dragon, its additions and advantages. Welcome. How many of you have already got Blue Dragon somewhere installed on your machine? Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Well, we've got four basic editions of Blue Dragon. We're going to go over all of those four. We're just going to run through them, and hopefully at the end of this presentation, you're going to be able to go back to your hotel room, know exactly which copy is going to work for you, and get it installed and have your templates running, I would guess, within 2 minutes. You should be able to take your templates that are running currently in CFMX, dump them straight into a Blue Dragon environment, and they'll just run. So let's just try to figure out what everybody needs, and we'll go from there. Now, I work technical support for New Atlanta for the Blue Dragon. I'll probably talk to some of you at some point, maybe, I don't know. But there's a lot of questions that come up over and over again, and I hope to hit those while we're here, save you a lot of headaches and save me some trouble too. Okay, so here we go. The first basic question is what is Blue Dragon? And I've been hit with that several times just in the last 2 days. It's a CFML server alternative to CFMX. That means that you can completely remove CFMX from your environment and run Blue Dragon. A lot of people get confused and think, well, does that mean that it's a plug-in to CFMX? Is it an enhancement? Do you just add some extra tags? And the answer is no. We are a complete 100% replacement for your CFMX environment right now. Now, can you run Cold Fusion and Blue Dragon on the same machine? Yes. Now, Charlie Earhart, he's got some white paper on our website, and it kind of steps you through it. It's more complicated than we're going to go into today, but just know that that's available, and you can do that. All right, here's your four basic additions. The free server. Most of you want me to stop right there. Well, the free server is the best one to start with. It's most like what you're running right now, except it's free. And it's completely contained. It comes with its own built-in web server, so you don't have to mess up anything that's going on in IIS right now. And I'm going to go through some of the caveats of making it free, but this is going to be your best bet for your development environment. Then we've got the JX version. It's free plus. It's all the things that free doesn't give you, you get with the JX version. J2EE. How many of you are running a J2EE application server right now? Okay, two. All right. I'll try not to spend too much time on that, but some of you may want to get into that. And then, well, okay, this was added a little bit extra. How many of you have heard of BEA and that we've teamed up with them? They have got the WebLogic edition. We have a special edition of J2EE that is specific for BEA WebLogic, and you can download that from their site. And then BlueDragon.net. Yeah. Okay. This is just an overview of what the architecture looks like. You may have seen that before on our website. Now, what do you get for free? How many of you love freeware? I love freeware too, except that every time I go download it and I start installing it and I think, oh yeah, I got something for free. Then I look back at all the time I spent trying to figure out what I need, number one. And number two, what buttons to push and what configurations. Then I look back at my time and I think, well, that wasn't all that free because I spent a lot of time just trying to figure out what did I need and what do I need and where does it go and how do I run it. So for a free server, you get a GUI installer. And that's a biggie. That's a biggie for me. The GUI installer that comes with our free edition looks exactly like all of our other installers. So when you start clicking through, you can install truly in less than 2 minutes. I can do it in one. Just choose default and go right on through. You get the standalone web server. Now that's going to be important to you, especially if you're planning on going back to your hotel room and downloading it, because you may not want to mess up anything else that's going on. And this keeps all of your testing completely contained to one specific directory structure. So if you're not using the default port of 8080, then you're good to go. Just move it over and start serving up your templates without any messing up with your CFMX right now. Now, we do offer integration with the free server, one adapter per operating system. If you're an IIS user, all of you IIS users in here, you get that adapter. But if you're on a Linux machine, you get Apache. Apache. He said, what is it on the Mac? It's Apache. I tend to forget about Mac, sorry. And you get the admin UI, and I'm going to show you that the admin UI with the free server looks exactly like the JX version. So there's nothing missing as far as what makes it user-friendly. And I'm going to show you that at the end. I'm going to compare the two and let you see for yourself. Now, you get ODBC data source connections for Windows users, and you get MySQL and Postgres, and I've never said that right, PostgreSQL for Linux and OS X. Now, what sort of functionality do you get for free? You get all of it for free. You get everything that you expect when you pay for a JX version. You get CFCs, you get XML, you get web services, and you get your CFX tags. So now what's not supported? Well, there's no integration with your JSPs and your servlets. You cannot do CF include. You can't do CF and forward. Now, that's only of your JSPs, okay? You can do CF includes of other templates, of course. And you can't have access to your CF servlet tag, and there's no sharing of your J2EE sessions. There's no support for JDBC drivers. You can't create or deploy pre-compiled or encrypted templates. That's pretty much more for commercial use. And no SSL support, and that's the biggie that keeps it free. Because if you're going to make money, you're going to need that support. Okay, so what can you use this for? Well, and of course, you can use it for development, and that's what most people do. And it's a seller for us to get you to go and download it and start developing with it and seeing that it does exactly what we say it does. It's a complete replacement for your current CFMX server. It's good for nonprofit websites. I had someone ask me just yesterday, well, what if I have my own personal website? Would this be a good idea? And it would. You can even change, I told you the default port was 8080 for the built-in server. You can change that to 80 if you don't have IIS running on it and just use the built-in server. You don't even have to use the IIS adapter with the free server. And of course, contact sales at New Atlanta if you're not sure whether you're breaking any rules. Okay, so JX, like I said, it's free plus bonuses. You get your J2E shared sessions. You get the ability to deploy hybrid CFML JSP apps. It contains a JTurbo JDBC driver. We built that at New Atlanta. So if you use the JDBC driver, the JTurbo that comes with it, you've got complete support for that from us too. So any problems you have, you can email me for that as well. And support for connection to IIS, Apache, and Sun One web servers. And I kind of whisper Sun One web servers because we may stop supporting that. We don't have anybody right now, except for me, using the Sun One web server. So if you've not started using it and you're thinking about Blue Dragon, you might want to steer clear of that one. It's not etched in stone yet that we're going to quit supporting it. But right now, like I said, we don't have anybody that's, you know, using it or even interested in it. But let me know if you are, because it would certainly sway our decision as to whether we're going to continue to support that. Okay, I threw this in here because I want y'all to see how completely simple the installer is. This is just one screen of the installation wizard. This is the JX. When you get to this point, when you're running the installer, when you go back to your room tonight, if you install the free server, then all you're going to get is Apache and then none at this time. If you're installing the JX version, and I just threw Apache on there just to show you when I ran through the installer, you get IIS, you get Apache, and I've got probably five different versions on my machine at home of Apache because, as you know, they change everything every time they upgrade their versions. So when I run my installer at my desk at work, I get IIS, and then I get five different versions of Apache. So it's not just one. Every one of them show up during the installation process. Now, that says none at this time. It doesn't matter whether you install it during the installation process or you wait until after the installer runs, and then you go back in the admin UI and add it. It makes no difference. If you go ahead and install it during the installation process, you don't have to restart the web server. It does that for you. That's your only advantage. Okay, before we go into J2EE, I want to show y'all what it looks like. Now, this is the free server. You get the protection of your admin UI. Now, if you'll look at the URL, I told you it by default ran on port 8080. I switched it to 8081 just because I could, and I wanted you to see that I could. And if I want to change it to something else, I'm going to click this button right here, and that's all I have to do. I just change it right there. It's that simple. Then, if I look right here, there's my one web server adapter. That's just with the free one. If I want to install it, which I don't right now because I've got .NET on IIS right now, but if I wanted to install it, it's just a click of the button, restart of IIS, and I'm moving templates into inetpub www root. That's as simple as it is. You get the same application settings that Josh showed you earlier. You've got your application variables. You add your data sources, and I'm gonna tell y'all a trick about that because I get a lot of questions on that. But first, I want to show you a comparison. This right here is the JX admin UI. You get the security. The only difference between this admin UI and this one is one field, and that's this deploy precompiled templates. So you get the same functionalities. Now, what I wanted to show you, under data sources, there's a button that says ODBC refresh. I know that sometimes that's a little bit confusing. If I went into my ODBC configuration from Microsoft right now and added an ODBC data source, all I'd have to do then is come back into Blue Dragon and choose ODBC refresh, and it would read it in. But the problem is we don't, if it's SQL Server ODBC or Access is not so bad, but we don't know what the username and password is. So you're going to have to make the extra step of adding your username and password. And a lot of times people will do an ODBC refresh and they'll call me and say, it just doesn't work. Well, it does. We can't figure out what your username and password is. That's encrypted. Okay? On the free server, though, if I choose add a data source, I'm going to get a window that says you're going to have to add it through your Windows ODBC connection. But, of course, in JX, and I'll show you all how easy it is. If I want to add a data, and I've got SQL Server 2005 on here, and I'm just going to name it SQL Server. Y'all can tell I've practiced this before. The name of my database is regression. Name of my machine and then adding my username, adding the password, not right now. And I've got a valid data source. And let me tell you, this is another problem that comes up, and I get asked this a lot. See how it says one is not verified and one is valid? You don't have to validate your data source to get them to work. Like if I go in here and it says it's valid, and then I restart Blue Dragon, and it's in the services control panel, and then I go back to this screen, it's just gonna say not verified, and I don't have to verify it. Every time I restart, it doesn't mean I have to verify it. It just means that at this moment it's not verified. But if you verified it before and it was working, there's no reason why it shouldn't be working now. A lot of times people get confused by that. Okay. What else? Oh, I know what I wanted to show you. This is something that Blue Dragon offers that maybe you're not used to seeing with the current CFML server that you're using, and this comes in really handy for me. But when you're running the free or built-in web server, and number one, when you're running that built-in web server, and like I told you, on whatever port you choose, and then you say, well, I'm going to connect to IIS. A lot of times people will connect to IIS and then go into their services control panel, and they'll see Blue Dragon server running. And they'll say, well, I no longer need the built-in server, and they'll stop it. Don't do that, because that's the Java process. You can't use the built-in server insofar as serving your templates anymore once you connect with an adapter, but you still need to leave that service running. Okay, so it's kind of two different things there. But here's my JX installation, and what I was trying to tell you is everything is contained, so if you don't want to mess with IIS, you don't have to. You can just know that this is available. And here's my dock root at this time because I don't have an adapter. And see, I have an index.cfm, and I can run that, and I have this page right here that says test error. And I want to show you something that we offer that, like I said, is not always available. If I can find me a new... No, sorry. Okay. I'm going to go to HTTP 8082 because that was my JX version. And then I'm going to say test error. Oh, I didn't say localhost. I might be able to stop me. It would have been a good trick, wouldn't it? Okay. Look, all I did was I created an error page that just deliberately created an error. And of course you get this runtime error with all this really cool debug information. But if you scroll down to the bottom, you see this little message that says bderror45139.html. If you would make a note of that while when you're looking at your debugging, then you can go into ServerJX, Work, Temp, RTE Logs, and that error page, 451, is written to an HTML. So a lot of times what people do in production is they'll just go in and every day zip all those errors up and hand them to somebody, to dig through and figure out what's going on with their application. And that gives you a record of every single error. And not only just a record, but you've got all this information along with that error. And that's really, really handy. Another thing that Blue Dragon offers that you may not be familiar with, and I don't have to show you this, but I'm sure when you are developing your applications, you use a lot of CF dumps, and I know that I do, but you are required to specify an attribute called var that of what you want dumped. But with Blue Dragon, you can just write CF dump, period, and it gives you all of this. Then you don't have to plug away and figure out, you know, what's next. So anyways, that comes in really handy. Right. So on with the presentation, and I know y'all said you weren't real interested in J2EE, but we're going to hit it anyways. Go back up. These are the J2EE application servers that we currently, well, I currently have tested Blue Dragon on. I don't know of one that we would not run on, but these are the ones that are the most popular: BEA WebLogic, IBM WebSphere, Servlet Exec, which is my favorite. And if you don't have a favorite, you might want to try Servlet Exec, because that's the one that we build at New Atlanta, and that's the one that I'm most familiar with. If you need help, you can always call me and ask me. Tomcat, which is free, yay. And then there's JBoss, which I have heard that CFMX does not run on, but maybe I'm wrong, because somebody told me they were running on it. Okay, what is a web app architecture? And since nobody in here is currently using a web app architecture, I'm going to just hit on this very briefly. When I was working on Servlet Exec, I had a lot of people who were doing nothing but creating web apps, and they didn't even know what a web app was. And it's just a specific structure. And if you don't follow specific structure rules, then your web app is not going to work. And that's all Blue Dragon J2EE is just that structure with our jar files in it. So that structure being the web app is a top-level directory, and you drop your CFML pages inside there. You have a web INF subdirectory, and you have a web XML. And that's always what I tell people. If you don't have those things, you really don't have a web app. And then you've got classes and subdirectories. But I'm going to show you real quick what it looks like. I created one. Oh, here's one. There it is. That's all it looks like. And when I took the J2EE version off the website, it has an executable, but it also has a zip file. And you're just as well off with the zip file, because that's all you need. If you unzip it somewhere, you'll see this structure. If I were creating a Blue Dragon WAR file right now, I would simply take these. I would take this right here, and I would zip it up, and I would name it whatever, bluedog.zip, and then I would change the extension from .zip to .war, because that's all a WAR file is. It's just zipped up, but it has to be in this particular structure. Now, that folder name regression, that's just my templates. You wouldn't have that. That's just some stuff I did. And then this Blue Dragon, that's just to help you with applets. It's got some jars in it. But that's all that is. JBoss. And some of you, like I said, were interested in it. You can deploy as a .war or an open directory structure, like I told you just now. You can configure your data sources in either your application server, your J2EE server, or in Blue Dragon. If you create your data source in your app server, you don't have to look for it in Blue Dragon. We will just automatically know that when you run your templates to look for it. And each Blue Dragon application has its own Blue Dragon admin UI. It looks exactly like what the JX and the free server looked like. And I'm going to run through BEA real quick. It, like I said, has its own branded version of J2EE. But I would ask that you only deploy this in the open directory structure, because you're kind of new to it, and I'm kind of new to it as well. I'm used to being able to have a WAR file and then open up my templates in there, make changes. But for some reason in BEA, it's really tough to get those changes to be read back in. Because usually what happens, it's supposed to unpack everything onto a certain drive, and it's just not easily read in. It can be done, but I would just not do it if I were you. And all the data sources have to be configured in the WebLogic application server. Okay, I think that's all I'll be up. Now I want to show you real quick. All right, this one was the free. That was JX. This one on 8085, that's JBoss. I always put JBoss on 8085 or Tomcat. Data sources look exactly the same. You add them exactly the same. You've got your pre-compiled encrypted templates. This particular, now look at your URL. I'm running on 8085 because that's the port that I've got Tomcat or JBoss running on. But this Blue Dragon right here, that's the name of my WAR file. I could have named it anything, but I named it Blue Dragon, and that might be a little bit confusing, but I'll show you really quick how simple it is. If I go to my JBoss installation, where is it? There it is. And this is where I've got it deployed under deploy, and there's bluedragon.war. And if I took this and I made a copy, and then I rename it to Blue Cat. Then, and I think it like reads it in every few seconds or something like that. And I would change that. And then I get a different admin UI. So that's how that works. Okay, and then this is Blue Dragon 621. I showed you that open directory structure, and it was under the name Blue Dragon 621 right there. That's this right here. That's this admin UI. And this is deployed in the web logic, and the reason I know that is because if I choose to add a data source, it tells me, no, you can't. You gotta go to the application server to do it. And that's how I know. Okay. Now, I'm not gonna go into all this integration. I just threw these up there so you could, because it looks familiar to you. This is how you create objects. This is how you integrate Java. Okay, for J2EE, if you have any jar files or classes that you need to read in and create objects with, you'll need to add them to your app servers or your J2EE servers class path. I've had to get off of saying app server. Y'all say J2EE server a lot. But your app server, like Servlet Exec or Tomcat, they'll need to be in that class path. But for Blue Dragon JX, you add those to the Blue Dragon JVM settings, which was in the admin UI right here. And that's in both the free and the JX version. And you just separate each class path with a semicolon. And it tells you here in the help files how to, you know, how to separate them. If you're a Unix user, you'd want to use a colon. Okay, if you sat through Josh's, you saw him use if include page equals for a .NET object and for a .NET page, and this, you would do the same thing with the JSP. I think somebody asked that. But page equals, and I think in CFMX, and somebody may tell me, don't you use like context page or page context or something like that when you're including a JSP? Use what? Temp? But anyways, you can have access to the CF servlet in the J2EE as well. CFX tags, of course. Okay, bluedragon.net. This is my favorite bullet. You're gonna need a Windows operating system. I can't tell you how many people will call me and say, I'm a Unix user, but I really want to use .NET. And I'll just say, well, gosh, now you'll need to go buy Windows. But these are your operating systems that that .NET is supported on. Okay, it comes, .NET 1.1 is already on your machine right now. A lot of people will go back to their hotel room right now, and you're going to go download bluedragon.net, and you're going to love it, and you're going to say, this is the greatest one. I'm going to start using it. I think I'm going to upgrade to .NET 2.0 and see how much faster it's going to run. And the problem is you have to have this .NET framework already in place and running before you install Blue Dragon. So if you go and install Blue Dragon and then you upgrade to .NET 2.0, you're going to be missing some DLLs, and then you're going to have to call me. So just make sure that you are on the version of .NET that you want to be running on, or if you change your mind later and you want to upgrade to 2.0, just uninstall bluedragon.net and then reinstall it, and it will drop the DLLs in there for you, or you can call me and I'll send you the DLLs. But it's just easier if you just know right away that you're going to have problems if you try to upgrade your .NET version. Okay. When you're running the installer, you're going to get prompted, if you don't already have Visual J Sharp on your machine, it's going to say, you don't have Visual J Sharp on your machine. Would you like me to install it for you? Click yes. You don't have to go find it yourself. You used to, well, when we were developing it, you did. But on these installers will do that for you. So it's just really simple. The only thing you really need on your machine is the version of .NET that you're going to be using. When you are running your installer, you're going to get hit with some choices. This whole screen is going to give you here, I'll show you the choices. Those are your choices. If you choose all websites, all that's going to mean is the global website and everything under it is going to have your extension mappings mapped to the .NET framework. And that may be A-OK with you, but if you're running CFMX, what you may want to do is create a different website to try the .NET on. So then, in that case, you would choose some websites. If you choose some websites, you're going to get this little window, and all the websites you've got configured in IIS are going to pop up, and you get to pick. And the only change that's made is the extension mappings are going to go from pointing to CFMX Engine to pointing to the .NET framework. You may choose Virtual Directory. Now, don't choose that unless you really understand virtual directories, because this really changes the whole installation process. But you're going to get prompted for an alias. So maybe you'll say, okay, I want my alias to be BD. And then you're going to point to a folder somewhere on your machine, hopefully an empty folder. Well, when you point to that folder, the installer then is going to dump all of the Blue Dragon DLLs into that one directory. And that may work for you even better, because then you really aren't messing with anything in IIS. You've really got .NET contained. But if you don't understand the virtual directory concept, you might be better off just choosing a website. Now, custom configuration. Y'all just step away from custom configuration. Just be very afraid of custom configuration, unless you can get my phone number before you leave. And it's really not that hard, once you get a hang of it, you'll be okay with custom configuration, because if you install BlueDragon.net and then you go back and say, well, I'm ready to add another website, then you're going to need to know custom configuration. Okay? Because you're going to have to just add your extension mappings, and really that's all you're doing. Okay, I'm going to show you the changes. There are four changes made during the installation process, and the reason I want to explain this to you is because a lot of times when you run an installer, and BlueDragon.net obviously would have nothing whatsoever to do with, say, Acrobat Reader. But you're going to run this install, and then your Acrobat Reader someday is going to break in, and you're going to say, well, I know it was because of that Blue Dragon installer, and that's just messed the whole machine up. But I'm going to show you that there are only four changes made, and they're just very harmless changes. And then if something goes wrong with your machine, you're going to say, well, it couldn't have had anything to do with Blue Dragon. Okay, first we're going to look at the GAC. Everybody has a GAC. You may deny it, but you do. And it's under Windows, Assembly, and there it is. And if you look, there's our DLLs, and that's all we've done. We've just dropped our DLLs into the GAC, and they don't harm any other DLLs that are in there. Then we make edits to the web config. If you look in Microsoft .NET Framework, I'm running the version 2.0 config. And see, I've made some changes, so it kind of renamed it. But look, this is your web config. And I'm going to open it in Notepad and show you. See where you see Blue Dragon here and there? All that's doing is saying, oh, okay, when you get a request, there's Blue Dragon's around, it's in the assembly. Just make sure you know it's there. And that's very harmless right there. Just some edits. Then, of course, you've got your extension mappings. And I think most of y'all are already familiar with extension mappings, but I'll show you real quick. Okay, I'm running on the default website, home directory, configuration, and there's CFM, and you see it's pointing to a DLL, and every one of these extensions are pointing to a DLL. And like Josh pointed out, ASPX is pointing to the same DLL. So that's how you're running natively on the .NET platform. And you get an installation directory. And see, I've got my server.jx, my free, and then here's .NET. And I want you to pay close attention to this folder right here. This is website one. I didn't name that, and when I ran the installer, that was not there. That gets created on the very first request that comes in for any kind of Blue Dragon related request. And IIS is the one that named it. If I'd had two or three different websites running and I hit those, then I would have several other folders. And it seems that IIS, it will name the first one website one, and then the next one I configure, they're going to name it website, and then they're going to put out a string of numbers, and we have no idea where they get them from. But you can find that listing in the IIS under description if you look at your global level. But that's what and it's not important that you know that, except that to know that every single website has its own folder means that every single website has its own Blue Dragon admin UI. So how would you then think that you would connect to each one individually and make your different changes? Well, you need to use your host name or your port value, whatever differentiates your website from the next website you've got configured. That's how you would request that admin UI. And I want to show you what the admin UI looks like, and it's going to look like every other one. That was my third page. Okay, there it is, .NET framework. You got your license and security. And know this too, this is sometimes confusing to people. This part that says allowed IPs, and right now it says any IP address, that's just for the admin UI. That doesn't mean for your application. A lot of people get confused on that. And then the deny IPs, of course, that again is just for your admin UI. That's how you secure your admin UI on top of adding an admin password. And we've got the same debugging. It's like Josh showed you. You can set the debugging here in the debug. Where is it? Settings. There it is. Just like in ColdFusion, what you're used to. You've got scheduled tasks. Now your data sources are a little bit different. These are your choices. And I'm going to add, again, another SQL Server. I could have named it anything. The reason I say that they're different is because the .NET framework provides those connections. So they're not really JDBC connections. And they're called providers. Not now. And there it is. And again, don't worry about it being verified every time. And make note of the URL. I don't have a port number because it's running on port 80. And then it's just bluedragon/admin, and I don't have to add that dot, the index that gets redirected. So if I just say admin.cfm, it redirects me. So that's just one less thing that you have to remember. It's just admin.cfm. Okay, like I said, multiple Blue Dragon admin UI. You can, if you don't want to go in, say you're running, you know, 12 sites on BlueDragon.net and all of them are going to be configured the same, and you need 12 data sources configured, and you don't want to have to spend all day long adding data sources to all 12 of those websites. you can make one edit to a global Blue Dragon XML, and I want to show you where the Blue Dragon XML resides. There's a config directory right here, and there's the global level. And then, of course, in your websites, you've got a config directory. And see how many times I've changed it? It makes a backup each time. So if I say, gosh, I was running yesterday and I made some configuration changes and everything's messed up now, you can always back up to the previous change you made. And it saves all the way up to 10. We used to save all of them. It just got overwhelming. People would forget to delete them. But you can copy your changes from this Blue Dragon XML into the global one. And then you don't have to go in and configure all your data sources a million times. Okay, and virtual directory, you're going to end up, like I told you, the virtual directory's got an advantage if you're in development because it is contained. The structure inside that folder where I told you that everything gets dumped is going to be familiar. The one advantage, though, is you're going to get a bin directory, and all of those DLLs that ended up in your GAC are going to end up in that bin directory. And the plus of that is because the GAC is, you can't delete from the GAC. We can delete, but you can't copy and then save it somewhere. So a lot of times if you get a hot fix and you want to apply it to the Blue Dragon Global in the GAC, you have to unzip it, and you've got your four DLLs, and then you have to drag it into the GAC. You can't copy-paste into the GAC. It's a very strange little directory that Windows has configured that way. And you can't unzip into the GAC either. It has to be a drag and drop. But the problem is then you've lost your DLLs that came with your build. So maybe you had some templates running just fine, and then you said, well, I want the latest, greatest, and then you drop in the hotfix, and something's not working, and you can't back up unless you run the installer again, and then you don't want to do that. But if you install on a virtual directory, then you can take those DLLs, stop IIS, rename the DLLs to .build or whatever, and then put your DLLs, and you've got every single version available to you in that bin directory that's going to get dumped in your virtual directory's folder. And that's an advantage of using a virtual directory. Again, it's up to you. Hopefully that's going to help you make a decision when you're running the installer. I'm not going to go into this because Josh has gone into this, and it's really beyond the scope of this lesson, but integrating .NET with CFML, if this is something you're interested in doing, you get the availability of share sessions. I'll show you where you do that. Right here. By default, it says no, so make sure that you go in there and you change it to yes when you get ready to try that. Josh kind of hit on named application versus unnamed application, so just please refer to the integration documentation. I'm not an ASP user, and if you take one thing away from this lesson, you don't have to use ASP to use the BlueDragon.net. You can just use CFML and move on. And then you've got it available to you later if you ever want to just kind of play with it, or maybe when you get some time to look at the book that Microsoft has offered. Then it's a good thing to already have, and it's on your machine. But if you take one thing away, don't steer away from the BlueDragon.net version just because you're saying to yourself, I just do not want to go and learn a new language right now. I just don't have time for that. But you don't have to. Just drop your templates into IIS, DocRoot, just like you've always done, and forget that it's running on a .NET platform, okay? And shared application variables, like Josh said in his previous demonstration, that's available to you. That documentation that Josh referred to and that I'm referring to on our website, I printed it out and I've got it sitting on my desk. I use it all the time. It's really all you need to get started if you kind of decide you want to give it a shot, is because it's all examples. And if you're like me, that's all you don't want somebody explaining it. Just show me some examples, and I'll start putting in other things and see what happens. Okay. This page is just what Josh showed you. This is what I copy-paste. I just have it sitting on a text file on my machine, because every time I write something that I'm going to try doing some integration with, it's just a copy-paste. Do you see where it says tag prefix equals CF? And then Josh showed you how, and I'm going to show you how, and I wish I knew how to use this pointer. I'll point it with this. See how that says CF right there? That matches with that, and it doesn't have to be CF. That kind of threw me off. One time somebody sent me a problem, and they were using some word there, and I thought, well, there's your problem. It has to be CF, and it doesn't. That's just there for your tag prefix. Okay, don't let that throw you. Okay, questions. Does everybody know what version of, what edition of Blue Dragon you want to go back to your room right now and try? Free. if you run into any problems, and even if it's after this is over, I don't mind you emailing me. It's bluedragon-support@newatlanta.com. Most of our questions come from people that are just trying it out. It's not really about support for our clients, because by the time they buy Blue Dragon, everything's pretty much running by that time, and I never hear from them. So I would say 99% of everybody that I get emails from are people just trying to try it out, and we certainly want to help everybody that has a problem. So if I don't have any questions, hey. BlueDragon-support@newatlanta.com. I should have put it up there. It's on our website too. Okay. Let me ask him.
Can you elaborate on the
It's always okay in a development environment. If you aren't making money with that particular installation, then it's free for you. Vince, even if he's developing commercial websites, it's okay for him to use the free. He said, yep, he's the boss. Just right, just not a production server. Yeah. Hey. Do we provide that jar? Yes. Say that again. I have it. I've tested it over and over, but I can't remember if I got the, if it came with the installer, or if it was something I got. Oh, really? Okay. Okay.
How frequently and accurately?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. When we first came new on the market, it was our goal to be completely portable and compatible with ZipMX. But we have acquired such a client base, and there were so many implementations going into the CFMX 7 that we didn't see that our clients needed, but then there were other things that they did need that weren't in the 7.0 version of CF7. So we started implementing those, and Vince is going to be giving a talk next and telling you what we've got and the tags that we're offering in our next version that our competitor doesn't have, that you might be more interested in than what's available in CF7, because we let it totally be client-driven. Yes? Well, like I said, you get a .NET the .NET framework provides you, it's called an ADO.NET provider. So, because JDBC means Java, right? And it's completely not Java. But you still get, in fact, I think it's actually better connectivity, but you're not going to, the look and feel is not going to, you're not going to see any difference. Okay, anything else, or are we ready for an iPod? Are you going to let me draw, or are you going to please? I don't know if y'all were here before, but we're two times in a row, women were drawn, and there's how many women? Two, three, and they said I was rigging it, and I really wasn't. It was just karma, I guess. But I'm going to keep it. I mean, y'all see. Okay, if this is a woman, I kind of hope it is. All right, 644-0237. Hey! Well, that's it. That was what it was. And he planted himself right where the karma was going to rub off on him. All right, well, thank y'all.
Good job, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.